It's okay, I started it.
Oh, okay, okay. Perfect, thank you. Now we'll call the meeting to order. This is the annual meeting of the State Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee, held at the Utah State Tax Commission at 210 North, 1950 West. It's at 11 a.m. on Thursday, August 29th, 2024. I'm Commissioner Jennifer Freskes, and I'll be chairing the meeting today. We'll start by introducing those present at the meeting today. I'd like to begin by having the committee members introduce themselves first, and then anyone else who is in person or online will have introduced for the record as well. So as I said, I'm Jennifer Freskes. I'm the chair of the State Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee, and also commissioner. Mr. Bennett, would you like to lead off?
Rodney Bennett from Box Elder County Assessor's Office. I'm the representative for the Assessors Association.
Thank you. Mr. Pearson, Mr. Buse.
Hello, this is Kelly Pearson. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Ag, representing the Department of Ag.
Thank you. Dylan, you're on mute. There you go.
Okay. Hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Dylan Fates with Utah State University on the commission.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I believe that is it for our present committee members. So let's go ahead and introduce those in the room.
I'm Commissioner Michael Cragen from the Tax Commission. I'm here to provide some training.
Thank you.
Perry Camp, President of Public Policy for the Utah Farm Bureau Federation.
Thank you.
Matt Dyring, I'm working for the State Tax Commission.
Perfect, thank you. We also have Janelle Collings in the room as well. She is one of our, one of our clerks. Let's go online as well. You can each introduce yourself and let us know who you're with.
Sean Tanner, Executive Assistant with the Commission.
I'm Alex Jaroslik, a Tax Commission Economist.
Brady, you are on mute.
There we go. Brady Kelsey, State Tax Commission.
Thank you.
Jared Resendiz, State Tax Commission.
Brian Larson, Utah State University.
And Robert Lee, Utah State University.
Thank you. Looks like we also have a Cindy. If you could introduce yourself as well, you're on mute. We still have you on mute. Anybody happen to know? Oh, she's just from the public. Okay. So we have Cindy, she's with the public. Okay, I think that's everybody. There's nobody else online, right? We're good. Perfect. That'll bring us then to the next agenda item, which would be Commissioner Michael Cragen. He has graciously agreed to provide our open public meetings training. He said that's what I have on my little script. Let me make sure I'm run through it right on here. Yes. Okay, we're good. So I'm going to turn it over to Commissioner Cragen for that.
Thanks. So this is my opportunity to share training with you every year. State law requires that the chairman of a public body provide annual training to the members of the public body on the Open and Public Meetings Act. I'm here to give you an update on the changes that the legislature has made since your last meeting. Here's my usual slide, kind of the nutshell. You'll notice there are a bunch of things that are underlined. Those underlined terms are terms that the legislature redefined in its most recent session. It doesn't change the spirit of the law, but they did change the language just a little bit. But essentially what it comes down to is that a public body has to do its business in a public meeting after giving proper notice with a reasonably specific agenda and making an audio recording. So Janelle and Chante took care of putting out your notice and your agenda for this meeting, and Chante started the recording for us so that we've got our meeting going properly. After a public meeting, the public body has to make a copy of the recording and their pending minutes available for public review. Public bodies are permitted to close their meetings to discuss specific topics that are provided for in statute. None of those specific topics probably will ever apply to this committee. So you don't need to worry about the procedures for closing a meeting. Though there are some public bodies, just for your interest, that are required to have closed meetings. You're not one of them. House Bill 36 was the specific bill that had changes impacting the tax commission and the committees that operate under the tax commission. Those underlying terms that were in the first slide were most of the big updates. There was a change to the law. Public bodies are no longer required to have a member of the body participate from an anchor location. However, our current administrative rule does require that a tax commissioner be present at an anchor location. We are exploring whether we want to change that rule so it may be possible for everybody to participate remotely in next year's meeting if we do change the rule. One of the changes to the statute was, though, that if a public body has a meeting where all of the members participate remotely, a member of the public can still call the agency and say, hey, I want to attend an anchor location, and the agency has to provide an anchor location where a member of the public could come. So this would be the room. We'd have that screen set up, and somebody sitting in the room could see all of the members of the committee who are participating in the online meeting. It's the statute specifically prohibits a public body from talking amongst themselves before the public meeting and deciding what they're going to decide at the public meeting. You have to wait until you're in a public meeting to actually conduct the business. And one of the big changes is that if somebody files a suit against a public body for violating the Open Public Meetings Act and they win, the judge can actually award attorney's fees to the person who filed the suit. So in the past, we used to just say, if a suit were to come about, all you have to really do is go back and redo whatever you did wrong to solve the problem. But now you also have the added concern that that attorney's fees could be awarded to the person who files the lawsuit. A bunch of other bills changed it, mostly just adjusted, took things out that don't exist anymore, changed names of public bodies that have been redefined, and those kinds of things. And so that really completes the training. I'm happy to answer any questions that anybody might have. Otherwise, I just wish you the best, and I'm going to go and wish an employee wish her well on retiring. She's been here for 53 years.
Saw that, it almost blew my mind.
I was 5 years old when she started working here, so I'm gonna go and thank her for spending my lifetime here at the Tax Commission.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Craig. And does anybody have any questions regarding the Open and Public Meetings Act or any of the training from that? Okay, hearing none, before we move on to the next agenda item, we have added a number of folks to our meeting, so I'll have you just introduce yourself for the record. Since you were late, we're going to call you out. Josh, step on up. Gerald, that's you.
Josh Nelson, Director of Property Tax.
Thank you. Oh, Gerald, you are muted.
Gerald Osborne, Real Property Manager of the Tax Commission.
Thank you. Jennifer Hansen.
Jennifer Hansen, Director of Miscellaneous Taxes.
Thank you. Jason.
Jason Gardner, Director of Policy, Planning, and Public Affairs.
Chris, if you just want to get yourself on record as well, that'd be great.
Chris Stitt, Policy Analyst, Office of Legislative Research and General Counsel.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, having that on the record, we will move on to the next agenda item, which is to ask if anyone here wishes to address the committee for up to 3 minutes on matters not related to a pending or reasonably imminent appeal to the commission. This is usually where everyone talks at once because everybody has something to say. Hearing none, we move on. Okay, so the next item on my agenda, assuming I'm in line, is to approve the pending meeting minutes of September 14, 2023. So I'll need a motion for that from the committee.
I will make a motion that we accept the meetings from the September 14th, 2023 minutes.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Bennett. He makes a motion to approve the meeting minutes from September 14, 2023. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. I don't believe we have anyone opposed. Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. That takes us to our next agenda item, which is the presentation of the Farmland Evaluation Report, which Utah State University is gracious enough to write for us every year. I want to thank both Mr. Larson and Mr. Lee for all of your help in getting this pushed forward this year. We had some timing issues, and I really appreciate that you were able to work with us on that, as well as Brady for jumping in and helping with that, and Matt as well. Jumping in and helping us with that. Thank you so much for that. So having said all of that, I'm going to turn this over to USU so they can present the report.
Okay, good morning. I appreciate you letting us take a minute here. We will present the summary of the report that was produced by Rob and myself. A couple key highlights here. In 2022, the Ag Census was completed, so we have incorporated the 2022 Ag Census data. The reason why that's important is that we can update crop mix, crop acreage for the county, so that is incorporated into this most recent report. We use 2023 production data, so prices and yields are from 2023, so keep that in mind. With that, some of the general recommendations is on irrigated cropland, due to the five-year average being up, we recommend an increase in all counties in the state in irrigated cropland. This is really being driven by the trend in alfalfa prices. I know in 2023 we saw a dip in alfalfa prices, but that five-year average is still up a little bit, so that's driving that, plus above average yields driving that for irrigated cropland. Another contributing factor would be the cost of inputs, as reported by USDA, was down. So that's also increasing net income received on this land. So that's driving that tax increase up as well. When we look at the greatest price increase would be $56 per acre in Weber and Davis counties, 7.4% change in Wayne County. So that's really what's driving those. That's the biggest change we saw in irrigated cropland. On orchard, as we know, there's a lot of risk in fruit production. Our poor fruit growers are exposed to so much risk. We are proposing the land value should be decreased. This really being driven by the drop in fruit prices, specifically tart cherry and peaches. So that's what's driving that proposed decrease for orchard. Meadowland, which is also being driven by the forage prices, should see an increase. Dry cropland we are recommending an increase as well there, also being driven by the change in prices. Grazing increase, non-productive, no change in those non-productive lands. I wanted to point out a couple things to just as a point of reference. We are estimating, as we look at this process for estimating these values, we utilize a crop budget framework. The five-year average prices as our proxy for crop prices. And just as a reminder, we use that five-year average to eliminate those high peaks and valleys, really just to mellow out that price series. So one of the things that's written in the report that I think needs to be reminded is as we use this five-year average, a five-year average of past prices will mean that the most current five-year average will be below that of the most recent price when prices are increasing. So as we looked in 2022, that's what we saw there. Then as we go to 2023, we saw the price of alfalfa in Utah drop, but we saw the average price still up. So keep that in mind, that those two forces, when prices decline, the current five-year average price will lie above the recent price. So as you go to table, right, as you look at that table two, right, you'll notice alfalfa price was actually down almost 26%, but our five-year average price was up 7.4%. So if people are asking, well, why is tax increase if the price of alfalfa dropped? It's that five-year average. It's really mellowing those price changes out as we go through that. So keep that in mind. When we look at those five-year average prices, table five, no, not table five, that's yield. We saw yield drop a little bit across barley up in alfalfa just because of the good moisture. The rest remained relatively stable. I forgot which table showed the five-year prices. One second.
Table six,
I apologize. Right, and that kind of shows that trend in prices, right, starting in 2019 to 2023. So that's really what's capturing that. And 2022 prices really pulled that average up and still impacting us in 2023. We saw barley up a little bit. As we know, corn is down a little bit from the past, and really alfalfa is driving that. Table seven illustrates the tart cherries, apples, peaches, the drop in prices there. Besides peaches, which are up a little bit, but they play such a minor role in our crop mix that really tart cherries drive that the most. Yields, table eight illustrates the yields. We saw alfalfa up, barley down a little bit, corn up, wheat relatively stable, and safflower down, but onions up. So really, you can see across the state relatively steady to just a minor uptick in yields across the state. So with that, those are our recommendations. The specific ones are found in the tables, but that's what's driving that. Rob and I are happy to take any questions on our suggested land values, suggested changes.
Anyone have questions for Ryan and Rob?
I think you kind of probably answered this in what you were saying, but a couple of questions. The average for 2023, that was from the first of the year to the end of the year, because I know prices were dropping throughout the year. That took the lower prices at the end of the year as well on alfalfa?
Yes. Yep.
And then it's continued to drop, but obviously everything in 2024 then would not show until next year's.
We'll catch that next year.
Exactly. Yeah. So as we've seen alfalfa prices just continually drop. Yeah. 2020, those will be shown in next year's report.
Okay. I just know that it says that and you had said that the alfalfa is one of the big drivers in this. And then the other part of that, then, just to reiterate, is that because we're averaging over 5 years until those higher years drop off, it's going to continue to have a higher average.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Okay. Same high in or two more years.
Yeah, that 2022 price is going to impact us for a little while.
Okay.
19 and 20 are both lower, so it'll stay, depending on what this year does, it won't start down until for two more years.
Okay. Yeah, because we've had a few good years. Now it's back to a little bit more normalized.
Yeah.
We just borrow what we have, that 5-year average, right? So you don't have such a huge swing. Right. That's good.
It's good on when it's going higher. It's not so good when it's going down.
Yeah, agreed. Yep.
Catch 22, and that's what we just have to remember, that it benefits us when price increase, and then it doesn't benefit when price right? But it evens out in the end. So just to keep that trend, to keep that average manageable.
Makes sense. Any other questions from anybody? Okay. Well, barring any further questions, then we have, I guess we're ready to entertain a motion to accept the recommendations of the August 29th, 2024 Farmland Assessment Report to the Utah State Tax Commission for 2024. Can I get, well, Mr. Bennett, do you want to make another motion? Do you want to push it on somebody else?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What?
I'll make the motion to accept the report as entered into the record.
All right. Thank you very much. The motion has been made to accept the recommendations of the August 29th, 2024 Farmland Assessment Report. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. We should have one more aye or nay. Mr. Pearson, you are muted. You still with us? Okay, any opposed? Let's give him just a moment to see if we get a vote from Mr. Pearson.
Sorry, yes.
Perfect.
Aye.
Perfect. Okay. Hearing none opposed, the motion passes unanimously. That being said, these values will be incorporated by the Property Tax Division into a proposed Tax Commission Administrative Rule, R884-24P-53, Valuation Guides for Valuation of Land Subject to the Farmland Assessment Act. It's a mouthful. We hope to present that on the September 3rd Commission meeting if we can get all of those values updated quickly enough. That would allow us to vote on whether to approve the rule amendment for publication to the Utah State Bulletin for public comment. There would then be a 30-day period for public comment prior to us doing final consideration. We hope to or expect to do a final consideration at a public commission meeting prior to the new year. Does anybody have questions or comments or any of that? Okay. Seeing none, I had originally planned to propose a meeting date of August 28th for 2025, but it does sound like Brian and Rob, that's probably the start of the school year. Would a week later than that be preferable for you?
No, if we know ahead, we can make it work.
Yeah, we can plan for it.
Okay, so I'm going to propose that we do it August 28th. Which just gives us a little more leeway in getting the rule published, giving the public time to comment, and getting it approved prior to the start of the new year. Any further comments, questions, issues with that plan? Okay, hearing none, that's what we will put out. I will ask Shantae to get that onto everyone's calendars prior to, as soon as we're done with this meeting, that way it is out there and we will know about timing issues a lot sooner this year than we did this year. Let's see, does anybody else have anything else they wish to discuss? Okay, I do want to once again thank Ryan and Rob for your work getting this done more quickly. I want to give a big thank you to Matt as he's learning and taking over on the Greenbelt side for our division, as well as Brady for helping get all those changes turned around as quickly as you did. I know you put in a lot of time to help us do that, so thank you very much. I am grateful that we have this meeting every year, that we get this report, that we're able to keep doing the farmland assessment in the manner that we have been, and that we give the public input. So thank you all for your participation. I do have to ask for one more motion. It's the non-debatable type. Anyone wish to motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Excellent. Mr. Bennett's motioning to adjourn. It's non-debatable. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you all very much for your participation today.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I thought he had something else to say. He's just